false prophets and these things that come our way. We have a Savior that can deliver us. And that power is like no other power. It just, there's no power here on earth like that. And that's where we should look to. We should look to Him for deliverance. The deliverance that is in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Whatever is going on in our life this morning, you know, how small it is, it doesn't matter how small it is, Christ is interested in delivering you from that. It might be as small as, you know, just you can't get rid of the thought that you made a mistake, or you can't get rid of the thought that you just don't, you know, I made a mistake, and it just bothers you. And you look down upon yourself, and you degrade yourself. And Christ doesn't want you. He wants to deliver you from that. He wants to deliver you from everything. So, this morning it is certainly different here with Rose not in the midst of us. But we can also praise God that He has prepared a place for us when we go on. And that's why we're here this morning, to prepare ourselves to go there, to prepare ourselves to go where she is. who said that, not sure where it is, but it says that, it was David about his son. He said that he won't be back, but we can go where he is. And that's the beauty of Christ Jesus. That's the beauty of being in His kingdom, that we will be together one day, that we could be where Christ is, with Christ. Often, He said this, that you can be where I am. You can be where I am. This morning, I would like to just talk a little bit about faith. It's interesting. I'll give you a few lines in quite a few where it talks about faith. It tells us to stand firm in faith. It tells us to live by faith and to receive by faith, continue in faith, contend for the faith, put on faith, hold on to the faith, keep faith, share faith, conquer through faith, ask in faith, and in full assurance of faith. Now, I can't touch all of those, but it just, it's given me, when I looked at this, it just gave me courage, and it gave me courage and joy to know that, and most of these are Paul's writings, most of these things are Paul's writings, but the one in James, where I'd like to start with, is James 1, first chapter of James 1, verse 6, 7, and 8, it says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." He's saying, ask in faith. When you want the attention of God, when you ask, ask in faith, believing. And what does that mean, asking in faith? It means that we are fully persuaded that the person we're asking, that he can do and will do according to his will. So, you know, when a child, when the children ask the parents for something, when they ask for something, they're persuaded. Usually they're persuaded that the parent is going to respond or is able to give to them what they ask. Or even better, in this instance, when we ask God, He always, it's even better. He'll give better than what we're asking because He knows better. But ask in faith, fully persuaded. It also needs to be that we're fully persuaded that He is the only one, that He is the only God, and that He is the only one that can do this. And we have to be fully persuaded also that the Word of God is true. We have to come to that conclusion that what we read, and I like what I heard this morning, that, you know, the Word is being explained away. We try to find, and we study the Word in a way sometimes that, well, does that really mean us today? Does that mean us today? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. We're down here on earth, and this Word of God is written for us today. And it does mean us. But here it says, if you ask in faith, not wavering, because of a doubtful man. It says a doubtful man is like the sea driven, wind and tossed. If you go out on the water, we were down on the ocean a lot this winter, and that wave, it just tosses you back and forth. It just, you know, this is what he explains it. This is the way a man is, that is doubtful, that doesn't have faith, and that doesn't ask in faith. Wasn't there's a story in the Old Testament about Balaam. Wasn't he? His story would be just about like this, you know. He wanted, well, let's explain it this way. He wanted what we in Sunday school had this morning. He wanted the two sides. He wanted to live in the world, and he wanted to live. He wanted the two sides. He wanted that. And it didn't work out for him, did it? It just did not work out. It will never work out. He so much wanted to be part of the world. But yet he so much wanted to do what God said. And he asked. He didn't ask in faith, did he? He asked God that he could go and do that dirty deed that he was asked to do. A word like that I would like to inject in here is simply an absolute. The word absolute. I think you explained it very well in one of the answers. It just simply, it seems in the world today that there's not many absolutes anymore. You know, it can be however. It can just be however. However you want it to be. Well, that's not true according to the Word of God. It simply is not true according to the Word of God. And sometimes you get blamed to be too black and white. I mean, too, it's this way or it's this way. Well, I'm telling you, the Word of God is that way, isn't it? It explains it, it just like it is. Do not waver. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. If we ask in faith. Yeah, if we think about an absolute, or if think about the creation. If we study the creation, it's about as plain the seed after its kind. He who created male and female. What do you want to do with those things today? We want to mix them up. We think we can mix them up. We think we can get away with that. That's not true. In James 4, it says, you do not receive, talking about asking in faith, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust, or that you can have it for your own benefit, or fulfill your own lust. And Joseph just he brought it down to one simple word this morning. He said selfishness. If we're asking that way, we're not asking in faith. We're simply not asking in faith, but that we should. Ask in faith means sometimes when we're asking that I don't know. When we ask sometimes, when we pray or when we ask, sometimes we simply say that we don't know. And that's okay when we don't know. But we can still ask in faith even if we don't know. We don't know the answers all the time, do we? But God does. And the main part is when we asking in faith means that we also are satisfied with the answer. When we ask in faith, I believe that we're going to be satisfied with the answer that God gives us. So, but let us ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And if we ask in a doubtful way, but just to be, we have to be persuaded that the word is true. And that the word is true, and that God is the only God, and that God does love us. We have to be persuaded in that God does love us, and that God will forgive us all the past. He will forgive everything. He will forgive everything. He wants us to be his sons and daughters. He wants us in his kingdom. To go on and talk about some of these, in 1 Corinthians 16, it says, watch you and stand fast in the faith. Stand fast. To stand. And in Peter says, uses a little bit of different words. He says, whom resist us and is steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And somewhere else we read about standing firm in the faith. So standing firm in the faith. And how does that look? What does that look? We stand for what is right. We stand for what is right. For instance, if somebody would come and tell you that it is not changed and it is right to gay marriage is right now. Take the extreme. It's right now. Some way we make this right. Well, no, we have to stand firm. This is what he's talking about here in Corinthians. He said, watch and stand firm in the word of God. That we stand firm in what is right. When things come along, we don't easily waver or fall for it if we are standing firm. We stand up to what the Word of God says. We believe that the Word is true. We believe that this Word that it is true, and that it will hold out to the end. We'll stand firm in it. Could we take the example of Adam and Eve? They were told not to eat off of that tree in the middle of the garden. They were told not to eat off of that tree. And here comes the deceiver and says, oh, but God, you know, God played a trick on you. Now, who is playing the trick? We know who is playing the trick. But see, if the deceiver would have came, if that snake would have came and said, it's okay to eat, they probably wouldn't have. But they use more tactic here, and this is sometimes the way it is with us. You know, so I usually imagine that when that snake came and said all this, and afterwards Eve thought about it, well, and it tells us she looked at the tree, and she noticed something. She noticed something that it is beautiful, and it's good to eat. It looked delicious. She noticed this and said, well, maybe he's right. Maybe the snake is right. And she didn't stand firm. She just simply did not stand. See, I don't know what kind of fruit that was, but I usually imagine it was the same fruit as elsewhere in all the other rows there. If there were 16 rows of fruit trees there, and they look just like the others. I don't know. I don't know about that, but I know that they were told. It was an absolute. They were told not to eat over that tree. And they didn't stand firm. They didn't stand for what was right. They believe the lie. And that is what the Sunday school lesson was all about this morning. It was about those deceivers, those false prophets, those people that come and try to tell you something different than what the Word of God tells you. No, here in, Paul says in Corinthians here, watch you and stand firm in the faith. So, there's two families that we know. Well, there's a couple different families. That we know that just can't hit it off together. Or let me use better words. They don't love each other. And they openly admit it, that we did all we can do, and that's the way that relationship is. We don't want anything to do with them. That's a lie. Now, I'm not saying that it couldn't happen that one family goes in the world, but these are believing people in the church. They get up and have devotions, they pray, and they do all the things we do. That is not true, that they can't do anything about that. That is not true. Because the Word of God says, what does it say? Love your neighbor. Love your wives. Love your husbands. It also says what? Love your enemy. And I know once you start loving somebody, if you truly love somebody, things will change. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that love never fails. It never fails. And I think there's a fix to that. I think they could love each other if they would try it. But the last word is simply, they don't want to. They simply don't want to. They don't like each other. And so it goes on. So it goes on. But the word is plain. It says, love your neighbor, love your brother, love your enemy. The word is plain. It's an absolute. It's true. The word is true. And maybe sometimes we get to that point where we just say, well, I don't hate him. I just don't like him. Or I just don't like what he does. Maybe that's sometimes the way we say it. But that's not the way the Word of God says it. It says, love them. That's what the Word of God says. I'm reminded of Speaker Johnson, the House Speaker, in the U.S. House Speaker. His Republican friends, one of them wanted to unseat him and take his speakership away from him. And they tried, and they weren't successful. And he went on the national news and said this. And somebody asked him, well, are you going to forgive your brother? And he said, that's what the Bible says. I will forgive them. I will fully forgive them for what they tried to do. But there was a question asked to him just later. He said, what about Hamas? What should be done there? We should wipe them off the map. Now, that doesn't make sense, does it? That's why we should not be in politics. That's why we should not vote. That's why we should not take part in that. Because you can't live the two worlds. You can't live in the two worlds. One, he says, forgive. The other says, clean them off of the map. Doesn't work. Stand firm. There is a good story in the Old Testament about this. I call it not standing up to what the Word of God says, not standing firm in the faith. I call it Reubenism. It's Reuben. And Reuben, and we'll go short in this story. I didn't hear the story of Joseph in a long time, but there's just a few points in this story that I would like to point out on Reuben's character. When Joseph came down there with his coat of many colors, and one of his dad sent him out to look at how is it going among the brethren. And the first thing he said, oh, here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him. Let's kill him. And Reuben said, well, this is not right. He is blood of our blood. We can't kill him. Let's just put him in this well. Let's put him in this hole. Let's put him in here. See, and then Reuben apparently left. And then his brothers seen the traders come down through there. He said, let's sell him. And when Reuben came back, he looked in the hole and he said, what did you do to Joseph? Well, we sold him. And all Joseph's intentions were to do what is right. But intentions don't work out, do they? We need to do it. We need to stand firm. And this is where Reuben messed up, didn't he? He messed up. He went along with his brethren to do something against Joseph, but he had all intentions to release him when he comes back. But it was too late. And sometimes that's the way it is with us, isn't it? Sometimes we're too late to stand firm. Well, we can be forgiven. God forgives us. He has mercy and grace for us in that time if we repent. But it just seemed that Reuben was that way. Time went on here, just to talk a little more about Reuben. The time went on when there was dire need for food, and they sent down to Joseph, and you know the story. When the second time they went down, they pleaded with Jacob to take Benjamin. He said, this man down there, he's pretty strong, he's pretty firm, and he will not. He said, I don't want to see your faces unless you bring your brother Benjamin with you. And what do you think Reuben said to him to persuade him? It didn't mean a thing to Jacob. But again, Reuben turned to something not his. He didn't give his life. He said, you can slay my two sons. Now, what kind of an offer was that? You can slay my two sons if we don't bring Benjamin back. Well, they didn't go and tell Judah then, and this is the likeness of Christ, but Judah said, I'll take responsibility. I'll take responsibility and take that responsibility. But at the end, Reuben was the oldest. He was the firstborn. At the end, what do you think Israel or Jacob said about him? Unstable as water. This was his blessing that he got. Reuben's blessing was unstable as water. And you notice that? He just didn't stand for what is right. He didn't stand. And sometimes that's the way we are. But we can have victory in this. In Hebrews 10, it tells us to live by faith. Not a just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall not have pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Live by faith. This should be part of us in everything we do. We should live in faith. Every hour, every day, every second. See, that's what Daniel was doing. When the time came when those people out on the street cried out and said, nobody can pray to God anymore. You all have to pray to the king. And then you'll listen to that a little bit. And what is this all about? Doesn't sound like the faith I have. It doesn't sound like my living faith. So what did Daniel do? He went right back home, what he always did before, and he went to his room, he went to the window, and he looked towards Jerusalem and prayed. And we know what happened after that. They took him, they accused him, they were watching him, and they threw him in the lion's den. Well, we know the story, and we know that he rescued him. But he stood firm. The point I want to get out is that he stood firm. His three friends in a fiery furnace, the same way. See, when we hear, when we know what the Word of God says, we don't have to listen to that. All we have to say is just like Daniel did. Well, that doesn't concern me. That's not the Word of God. It doesn't concern me. When the snake came to you, when the devil came to Eve, this is exactly what she should have said. I'm living in faith. I'm living by the Word of God. And it really doesn't concern me. I'm going to keep doing what I usually do. Keep on doing what you're doing. If it's right, keep on doing what you're doing. Continue in faith. See, if we in 1 Colossians 23, it says, if you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where I, Paul, made a minister. Rooted. It says rooted and grounded. The big trees that we see and the things that grow, they are rooted. That's why they can stand the storm. That's why they can stand, because they're rooted and they have a solid base. Living by faith means we will continue. We will continue to be rooted and grounded. Putting on faith. Maybe I should have read this first. Putting on faith. I don't have them in order here. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. So, putting on faith. When we put on, we dress ourselves, we put on something. We dress this morning to come to church. We put on shoes to protect our feet. And here it is, says the breastplate. To protect. Faith is a protection for us. So put this on, putting on faith. The story of Goliath. He put on an armor that weighed 125 pounds, and his spearhead, his broadhead weighed 15 pounds. Not many of us could shoot that out of a bow. Maybe Jonathan, maybe he's about the only one that could do that. I don't know. But this was a heavy armor. And he depended on that armor, that breastplate in front of him, to protect those fiery darts from the enemy. Did it save him? It didn't. It shows us that any earthly armor is not good enough. We need the armor of God. We need to put on the breastplate of faith. And this is what David had. David tried to put on Saul's armor. He tried to put this on. It didn't work, did it? It simply did not work. It was too heavy. And putting on an earthly thing for protection usually are way too heavy. They're just simply way too heavy. And it won't work. They'll do the exact opposite. If we depend on something earthly to protect us from the devil, because the fight is not earthly, it is spiritual. And so we need that spiritual to fight. We need that from God. We need the power of God to fight that. David was dressed right. He said, I can't do this. But when he got out to Goliath and he faced Goliath, he said, you come with all this armor. You come with all this heavy self. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you in the name of the Lord. If there's a Goliath in your life this morning, if there's a Goliath in your life, remember, quit fighting with the earthly powers. Quit fighting with your own power. But put on faith the power that is in Christ Jesus. That is who can win this war, who can get rid of this Goliath in your life. Let me also say that David didn't pull on this armor of faith in that moment. See, and I know Peter, when he seen the wave, he was walking out in the water. When he seen the wave, he said, God help me. What I'd like to try to say is we have to put this on way before the enemy arrives. It's so much better to put it on now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we want that faith. Today is the day to put on that faith. So when the enemy comes, we are ready. And we have practiced with it already. Just like David did with his slingshot. He practiced. When we're dressed with faith, we can conquer. We can be the fighter that we need to be. Fight with faith. So the fight is with faith. In Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So he says, fight with faith. And he also says, Paul says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to also all of them also that love his appearing. So it's also for us today, this a crown of righteousness. But fight with faith. Many times Paul used this. He said that fight with faith. Fight. It's a fight. But again, I would like to warn us, this fight, just like Goliath, it is not with this earthly power. It's not with earthly power, but it's with spiritual power. Now he tells us also to hold on to faith. When we hold on, and we like to hold on to things, don't we? When we hold on, the one thing that we like to hold on to is our name, isn't it? We hold on to our name. We like our name. We hold on to that. And we're consistent with that. I am John Yoder. Well, the people call me different things, but, you know, when I write my name, it's always John Yoder. I hold on to that. We hold on to those things. And there's many other things that we hold on that we could use an example. Now I'm going to pronounce it wrong again. When you say about names, Adriana. Did I say it right this time? Way to go. She likes to hold on to her name. She tells you if you pronounce it wrong. So I practiced a whole couple weeks. I practiced to say your name. It's not that hard, really. But just to bring out the point, to hold on to faith. He says, contend for the faith. Fight. Fight with faith. Contend for the faith. And my thoughts go to Jesus. What did he use to fight? When the devil took him up on the high mountain there, and he was just finished fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And he said, well, if you're the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread? And that would have been a temptation. He would have probably hungry and didn't eat for 40 days. And here he says, you know, you could do this. What did he say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that God, of every word of God, or something like that. So this is the way we should contend for the faith. We should use the word of God again. And again, I want to say this, that the word of God is, it's not hard, and it's not, it's usually not, how could I say this? It's usually pretty black and white. Usually it's, we can say, well, it's that's the way it is. Absolutely, that's the way it is. We can say that. And he had more temptations for him. Think about those. Back again to ask in faith. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the, is wave of the sea that is driven with the wind and tossed. And now just a few examples here that I would like to give. In the New Testament, when people came to Jesus and asked for something, there was a man in Matthew that asked for to come heal his servant. And Jesus said, I will come. This is the beauty of Jesus, that he never turned anybody down. When they came and asked something, he said, yeah, I'll do it. I'll come. I'll come. But this man said, no, no. He said, just say a word. Just say a word, and my servant will be healed. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed him, he turned around and said, oh my. He said, listen to this. I have not. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, not in Israel. He told the people there. That man that asked was fully persuaded, and he was asking in faith. He was persuaded that Christ can do it and that Christ is the man. The other instance, they let a man down through the roof to be healed. There were so many people crowded around Jesus, and he just looked and said, let it be according to your faith. Matthew 15. And behold, a woman came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her and said, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Sometimes when I read this, I think, wow, Jesus, that's harsh. That is really harsh how you answered this woman. You called this woman a dog. I don't take the bread from the children and give it to the dogs, he said. Meaning that the children of Israel. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful. This woman had so much faith. And that she was asking in faith. He said, well, just a crumb. You know, if your children eat sitting around the table, just a crumb falls down. And the dogs eat that. And if I could just have that crumb, if I could just have that crumb, my daughter would be healed. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from the same hour. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story, because the person asked in faith, came in faith, and had to trust, not in herself, but in Matthew 17, there's another story. And at the end of this story, And it was about the disciples. They simply said, why couldn't he heal somebody or rebuke the devil? Jesus did. And then the disciples said, why couldn't we do this? Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you may say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder places, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Think about this. If I'd have a grain of mustard seed on my thumb, you couldn't see it from down there. You couldn't see that it's so small. But he said, if you would have faith like a mustard seed, you could remove mountains. You could remove the Goliaths. Just like those crumbs, the smallest crumb is so powerful in the kingdom of God that it will and can do. There's many more stories. There's many more stories in the New Testament of how people came to Christ and asked in faith, and they were healed. But let's remember that God wants us to ask him. Christ wants us to ask him. He wants us to come to him in faith. He wants us to stand firm in faith. He wants us to live by faith. He wants us to continue in faith. He wants us to contend for the faith, put on faith, hold on to the faith, share the faith. Share the faith. I haven't gotten to that one. Share the faith. Conquer through the faith. Ask in faith and ask in full assurance of faith. Let's kneel in prayer. Father God in heaven, we kneel before you. We thank you for being God. We thank you that we can have trust and faith in you, God. And through you, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through your dear son, Jesus Christ, we can stand firm. Oh God, help us to realize when we read your word that this is what it means, that you want us to stand firm on this word. When you tell us not to eat of that tree, that we don't eat of that tree, that we stand firm when the false prophet and the false teaching come. God, help us to stand firm. Help us to put your word in our hearts so that just like Christ, when he was on the mountain in the temptation, that he stood firm and he told Satan what is the truth. What he stands by. And oh God, thank you that we can have that, and that we can stand firm also, only through your power. Just like David, when we say, we come to you in the name of God. We come to you in the name of Jesus. So thank you again, God, that we can have that power. Thank you that you gave that power through your dear son, Jesus Christ, that he came down here, that he died, that he rose, and that through that resurrection, we can live in the light, we can live in the truth, and we can continue that way. So again, thank you for that great plan of salvation. We pray now, God, as we go on through life, and especially in the next week, the next day, this afternoon, God, that you would be with us, and that we can live in faith so that people can see this, and that as we bring glory to you, that we can point them to you, God. That we can share the faith and point it to you, and that everybody can have this peace and love and joy in their hearts, God. God, we pray for the church here. Might you just bless them, continue to bless them, that they can reach out to the community, to the surrounding areas, and that they can be the true light. We especially pray, God, for Henry. We pray, God, that his loving road moves on to heaven. We just pray, God, that you would bless him with strength. And God, when he is tempted, when the devil wants to tempt him in any way, through this, we just pray, God, that you give him extra strength to withstand and to always look at you and to God. Might you be with the whole thing and the church, the community. God, we ask now,
we ask, we pray this morning, we talk about government, we talk about authority, you know, we're trying to do a lesson here. So we pray for our government, the authority that is over us here in the land. We pray that you might just be with them, God, that they can lead the country in a way that you want the country to do, that you want, that they don't make laws that are contrary to your word, but they would always look up to you also, God. And we pray for us that we would obey the government and that we would pray for them. God, again, thank you for today, and we ask a blessing on the rest of the day. We pray this in Jesus' name.
I will open it up at this time. Do you have anything you want to share? Any questions or anything that I didn't make plain or